want to welcome you all here and Merry Christmas. Hope you have a great Christmas time and that you'll remember what this season's all about. Amen. It's about the greatest gift ever given, the Lord Jesus. I want to call your attention to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1 is the chapter that deals with the birth of Christ as the angel Gabriel came to Mary. Matthew chapter 1 deals with the birth of Christ and the angel speaking with Joseph. In the Luke account, the angel came to Mary in the sixth month of Zechariah's wife's pregnancy. And in verse 27, it says that he came to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. When she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. The angel said unto her, Fear not, for thou hast found favor with God. Behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Here's the verse. He shall be great. All God's people said. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. What does it mean to be great? In the cup of man's ideals, there would be many that would be great or considered great. I think of George Washington, the father of our nation. I believe he was a great man. There were great military leaders like MacArthur, Eisenhower, great literary men, great composers. Great painters, great musicians. Then, of course, I guess we should think of some of the Christian men. Charles Wesley, Jonathan Edwards. By the way, it was said of Jonathan Edwards. How many know who Jonathan Edwards was? Jonathan Edwards was an early preacher in the early days of the United States. A great revival sprung from his influence. But it was said of Jonathan Edwards, he was the most intelligent man that ever lived in America. He was a brilliant man. D.L. Moody, Billy Sunday, Gypsy Smith, all these men were considered great. Some ability or circumstance that they were involved in, and they displayed leadership or courage in that position. They may have done a great thing and consequently are remembered as being great. But if you go back across the corridors of time to find the one person in history who was truly great, not measured in man's wisdom, but by God's standard. Those are two different standards. Your trip would lead you, I think, to a small Judean village 5 miles out of Jerusalem called Bethlehem. And there, over 2,000 years ago, the greatest person ever born was born, Jesus Christ. Now listen very carefully. He's not great for the same reasons as others are great. He's not great because he did a great thing. He did do a great thing. But that's not why he's great. He's great intrinsically. He is, in and of his very character and nature, great. So he's different, greater, greater by far, by 10,000 times as far as any other person who ever lived. That's why our verse, chapter 1 and verse 32, says he is great. I want to read you a quote from Philip Schaff. Philip Schaff was a Bible historian. And Philip Schaff wrote this. Jesus Christ of Nazareth had no money or arms. Yet he conquered more millions than Alexander the Great, Muhammad, and Napoleon. He was without science and learning, yet he shed more light on matters of human and divine interest than all philosophers and scholars combined. Without the eloquence of school, he spoke such words of life as were never spoken before or since, and produced effects which lie beyond the reach of sermon, oration, discussion, learned volumes, works of art, songs of praise, than the whole army of great men of ancient and modern times. He's great. This morning I want to speak to you on the subject of Christ's greatness. And I think just 3 thoughts and we'll be done. We're not going to keep you long. Number one, he is great as to his uniqueness. He is great as to his uniqueness. The word unique is defined as having no like, equal, or parallel. One of a kind. Jesus is the only one who ever lived, who was ever born, who ever fully fulfilled that definition. There's nobody like him. He was unique. As a man, he was born into our humanity. Humanity. But he was never born of our humanity. You need to write that down. Born into our humanity, he was. Born of our humanity, he never was. As a man, he was unique. He was unique in his perfectness. The Bible tells us he was holy, harmless, separate from sinners, higher than the heavens. In his uniqueness as a man, he was unique in his influence. Think of this. He began with 12 men. By the time the upper room happened in Acts 1, there were 144. By the time Acts chapter 4 was done, there were 3,000 saved, 5,000 saved, then multitudes saved. He had influence like no other man before. He was unique in his religious teaching. People came to hear him preach, came to hear him teach. 5,000 followed him along the shoreline so they could get a glimpse of him, and they finally found him, and there he sat them down and taught them for hours and then fed the 5,000 with bread and fish. He was unique as a man in his royal lineage. Son of David. Son of Abraham. Son of God. As God, he was unique in his unity with the Father. I and the Father are one. In his condescension to become a man. That's the thing that's very hard for my mind to grasp. God became man. We are listening to Sarah's pastor this morning, and he mentioned the fact that Jesus was lying in that manger. Then a few years later, he was alone there with his family in Bethlehem. And a star appeared in the east and led wise men to follow it to Bethlehem. The one sitting in his mother's lap made the star. I can't wrap my mind around that. The one who is in the cattle stall made the animals. Made his mother and his stepfather. Made humanity. Made the worlds. Created all there is. That baby in the manger. As God, he was unique in his display of power. The last chapter of the book of Matthew, it says, all power. And that word there is authority. And it means all authority over all things were given into him by God the Father. In his display of power, he was God. As God, he put himself on the cross and died on the cross. He was greatest to his death. What a sacrifice. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Your sins nailed Jesus to the cross. We put him there. The incredible thing is, He did it willingly. He was obedient to the Father. In the Garden of Gethsemane, as he was praying, he said, "Lord, if you could you remove this cup from me? This death that I'm going to suffer, this incredible, horrendous suffering that will be brought on me because of sin. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And he went to the cross and bore our sin. When you think about that, think of this. The Bible says he became sin for every man. Every sin ever committed or ever will be committed, Christ became, in essence, that sin. He took upon him the self, the sin of the harlot, the sin of the murderer, the sin of the atheist, the sin of the rejecter, the sin of the insurrectionist, the sin of the morally declined. He became sin for us. As God, he was unique in his cross death. Amen? Then I think he's great from every point of view. Amen? You can look at him any way. He's great. He's great in his person. Listen to this. As truly God, as if he were not man, and as truly man, as if he were not God. Let me say that again. As truly God, as if he were not man, and as truly man, as if he were not God. The majesties of his office, prophet, priest, king. He was great. He is unique. There's nobody like it. He's unique in his provision. He came to be our Savior, our substitute, our sacrifice, our surety, our head, our friend, our life, our Lord, our all in all. That's why the Bible says to Mary, "He shall be great. Who is like unto God?" Nobody. He's great in his uniqueness. Then secondly, I think he's great in his doing. Jesus dealt in great things. It was great ruin he came to restore. Man's sinful ruin, man's social ruin, man's eternal ruin, he came to restore. When you meet Jesus, regardless of how bad you are or think you are, if you come to him, he will forgive your sin and restore you. He will make you a new person. Greatest to his doing. He made the lame to walk, the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He brought dead back to life, the possessed to calm. He fed the hungry. He gave the hopeless hope. He was great as to his doing. I think he's great in his position. Power and authority. And the worship he will receive. By the way, Philippians tells us that someday every knee shall bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen. All those people that have bashed his followers, that have turned from him, that call him nothing but a man, and some don't even believe he existed. Someday every one of those people will have to fall on their face at the feet of Jesus Christ and say, "You are Lord." He is great in the position he holds. Did you get that when it said, "He shall be great, shall be called the Son of the Highest, and shall inherit the throne of his father David forever and forever"? Isaiah 9:6. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, and of the increase of his government there shall be no end. He is great as to his doing. Then I think thirdly, he is greatest to his deliverance. All God's people said. I think of five things. He delivered us from sin's power. Sin will no longer have dominion over you, it says. Once you meet Jesus Christ, you have a power greater than sin to guide you, to protect you, to help you make proper choices, to lead in your life. He came to deliver us from sin's power. Secondly, he came to deliver us from sin's penalty. The wages of sin is death. Without Christ, you'll die twice dead. You'll die physically and you'll die spiritually. When you die physically, you'll go in the grave and your body will be put in a place called hell without Christ. When Christ comes back, white throne judgment has taken place. You'll be cast from there into the lake of fire forever and forever and forever. The Bible says this is the second death. He came to deliver you from that. Number three, he came to deliver us from sin's presence. All God's people said. How many know when you wake up in the morning, you have a sin problem? Go through the day, guess what? Sin problem. Now, there may be some here that never do anything wrong. If you're here and you never do anything wrong, you're in the wrong church. Because everybody in here, we have problems. But someday, you're going to wake on the other side of this life. You'll be in the presence of God without sin unto salvation. Free from the presence of sin. Like Martin Luther King said, free at last. Free at last. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. And someday we will be free at last. Free from the presence of sin. Then he delivered us from the punishment of sin, all God's people said. Don't have to worry about that. Why is that? Because someone was punished for us. Jesus went to the cross and received our punishment for our sin. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We turned everyone to their own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He delivered us from sin's punishment. Then I think one last thing. Please remember this. He delivered us from our own argument. Write that down, because here's what it means. Religiously, men take every way but the right way. It's amazing to me. Standing in front of them is Jesus Christ, and they'll walk around him to go find Muhammad. Or they'll travel to India and spend years in India to study Hinduism. Or they'll go across the street from Hollywood Boulevard and study Scientology. And I say this many times, but it's true. That's just a fiction book that they built a religion out of. L. Ron Hubbard's nonsense. They have all kinds of argument about why Christianity doesn't work or is no good or doesn't fit them, and they're all filled with holes. Polytheism. Many gods. Pantheism. Everything is God. Agnosticism. I don't think there's a God. Maybe not. Not enough to make me think much about it. Atheism. No God. What does Psalm tell us? The fool hath said in his heart, no God. I don't even know this about 40 years ago, a man wrote an article.
I think it was published in Time.
That we're foolish to keep following this Christian nonsense. God is dead. And he started the God is dead movement. 40 years later, or 50 years later, here we are. And God's not dead. He's alive as he ever was, and he ever shall be. The reason God isn't dead is because he's not a man like us. He isn't born to die and never be alive again. God is an eternal being. He lives in eternity. Had no big beginning, and he has no ending. Same as Christ, Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. Atheism, agnosticism, pantheism, polytheism, all the religious arguments of man are rubbish. And Christ came to deliver man from these. He shall be great, all God's people said. That's who we worship on Sunday. That's who we lift up in our praise. That's who we sing about in our songs. That's who we pray to. That's who is now in heaven with his Father, waiting the voice from God to say, go, and he'll depart from heaven and come down to earth. And set up his rule and reign forever and forever. He shall be great. Lord, help us to love you, because you are, in fact, the only truly unique and great one in the world. Lord, help us to love you, serve you, and share you with those who do not know you, that they might be able to have the same deliverance that we have. God, help us this Christmas to remember the one who was lying in that manger was the great God of the universe. Condescended to become a man so that we might have life eternal. God help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.